Guys, let's talk about sex. Remember the days you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable alternative to Viagra and Cialis with the same FDA-approved active ingredients, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor's visits, no more waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew repairs and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, I've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code MLB. Just pay the $5 shipping. Again, that's Blue, BlueChew.com, promo code MLB to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, and faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast.
You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And to get this show every day, I need you to subscribe to Locked On Mets wherever you get your podcasts: Google, Apple, Spotify, Himalaya. Also, don't forget, when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. Now, on today's show, what I want to do is I want to talk about some different options the Mets might have to fill that fifth spot in their rotation in free agency. I've actually written a couple profiles already for Metsmerized Online on left-handed starting pitchers, one of them being Madison Bumgarner and the other one being Hyunjin Ryu. So I'm going to talk about Ryu in the first half of the show and then Bumgarner in the second half. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, check me out on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsmerizedOnline.com. Now, the postseason is brought to you by Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter the promo code POSTSEASON at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100. Alright, so we did spend some time talking about Hyunjin Ryu this year, and for good reason. He was Jacob deGrom's chief competition in the Cy Young race. He was leading the league in pitching nearly the whole time, ended up winning ERA title, pitching to a 2.32 ERA. He went 14-5 for the Dodgers, had a whip just over 1, kept the walks down, only walking 1.2 batters per 9 innings, and he struck out about 8 per 9. So, altogether, an outstanding season for Ryu. The question is, can he slot himself in the Mets rotation? Is that a wise signing for the Mets to make? Well, let's look back at his career a little bit and see what type of a pitcher this guy has been. He was a superstar in Korea. Okay, in his first year, he won the Korean Triple Crown, leading them in wins, ERA, strikeouts. He led his team to a championship, was named the MVP. He went on to lead the KBO in ERA twice, led them in strikeouts 5 times, and then eventually got posted for bid, and the Dodgers signed him to a 6-year deal. Now, in that first season when he was a Dodger, Ryu was everything they could have asked for. Made 30 starts, pitched to a 3.00 ERA, nearly pitched 200 innings, 192, and helped them in the playoffs as well. 2014, the injuries started to surface, but he still pitched well, made 26 starts, had a 3.38 ERA. Then this is when things started to get bad for Ryu in 2015, because he ended up having to miss the entire season after having season-ending surgery for his shoulder. The next year, it was elbow surgery. So all of a sudden, that was 2 years out of his career. 2017, relatively healthy, made 24 starts, pitched to a 3.77 ERA. The next year, he only had 15 starts, this time due to a groin injury. But what Ryu did do in 2018 is pitch to a 1.97 ERA, which kind of foreshadowed the Cy Young caliber year he would have in 2019. This year, he made 29 starts, proving that he was healthy. So, in an ideal world, if he went to the Mets, you would get that type of a guy again. All of a sudden, if Ryu pitched the same way he did in 2019, think about how deep the Mets rotation would be. The concern is that signing Ryu is basically signing Walker Lockett, because Ryu is just destined to end up on the IL at some point. That arm is going to break down again. That's the concern that you have to weigh out when it comes to signing a guy that's already 32. He probably is going to want 3 to 4 year commitment if he can get it. He'll actually turn 33 in March before the next season. So we're talking his age 33 through 36 seasons. That's what concerns me. It really does, because the Mets just don't have good luck with these things. I mean, they just don't. And so counting on someone of that age who has yet to really put together two healthy seasons in a row, that does concern me. I think the bottom line when it comes to Ryu and when I talk about Bumgarner is price. How much are these guys going to cost the Mets? Because they would be signing them as fallback options for not being able to get Zach Wheeler. And Zach Wheeler might just get that $20-plus million a year contract over 4 or 5 years, which the Mets aren't willing to give him. So if he gets that, how much lower do the Mets need these other guys to drop to for them to pull the trigger on signing them? I would assume that if it was on a multiple-year commitment for either pitcher, they probably wouldn't want to spend more than $15 million a year. So Ryu coming off such a great season, the question is going to be, does somebody else overpay him to get him into their rotation? Or, with maybe another qualifying offer attached to him, does he decide to hit the market anyway? Because last year he accepted the qualifying offer, and all of a sudden his market plummets, and maybe he gets to a price range the Mets are comfortable about. But I'm going to talk about Bumgarner and why he might be a better fit in just a minute. Whether you're catching a game, a concert, or a show, Vivid Seats is an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. With Vivid Seats, listeners can watch their favorite teams and artists perform in person, earning credit back on all purchases made through the Vivid Seats app via their Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program. Vivid Seats helps fans find seats to any of their favorite live events, including sports, concerts, theater, and more, all through the Vivid Seats app. Vivid Seats offers great prices and an easy purchasing experience, as well as an in-app loyalty program, Vivid Seats Rewards. Here is how simple this is. Go to your App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are then automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program and will enjoy credits on all their purchases as part of Vivid Seats Rewards. All Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by 100% guarantee. All right, Mets fans, now I'm going to talk a little bit about Madison Bumgarner. So Madison Bumgarner is always going to be remembered as one of the best postseason pitchers in MLB history. In fact, his career 0.25 World Series ERA is the best mark in MLB history. We saw it firsthand in 2016, where he pitched a complete game shutout in the wild card game against the Mets. So this guy is going to hit free agency for the first time, and he might be a potential fit to fill that last spot in the Mets rotation. Now, as I was writing the profile for Metsmerize on Madison Bumgarner, which is not yet published but should be up at some point over the coming days, I was trying to figure out what type of a market is he going to have, how much money is he going to make. It was tough to try to nail down. But I found articles and stuff from 2017, 2016, talking about Madison Bumgarner, is he going to be the next guy to get a mega deal? And it's crazy what happened in a couple of years. Because at one point, it seemed like he was destined to be the next guy to be a $30 million pitcher. And all of a sudden, I don't know if he even gets half of that. I really don't know. Because he is going to hit the market, and his agent's going to say, Patrick Corbin last year got 6 years for 140. He didn't have the All-Star appearances, the postseason success, World Series MVP on his ledger, pay my guy the same, if not better. But Corbin was coming off one of the best years of his career. Statistically for Bumgarner, this might be considered his worst year. And he had all of a sudden found something that he went from being, and this is Corbin I'm talking about, an 8 to 9 strikeout per 9 guy to an 11 strikeout per 9 guy in 2018 before he hit free agency. So the arc of his career was projecting up, whereas it's hard to think that Bumgarner's going anywhere but down. The question when it comes to Bumgarner for the Mets, is it a steep drop or is he going to plateau and be the same pitcher he was this year? If the Mets were going to sign him in the 3-year, $15 million type range, can he be the guy he was this year? Because he did still do things that I think you could work with. For one, he took the ball every fifth day. Made a career high 34 starts, which he did one other time as well. Pitched to a 3.90 ERA. You can say, wow, that's not that great. A 3.90 ERA would be the second best mark in the Mets rotation this year. Stroman didn't pitch that many innings. He had 11 starts. He pitched to a 3.77 ERA. So if you want to put Stroman ahead of him, fine. The third best mark. Zach Wheeler's ERA was 3.96. Steven Matz was 4.21. Noah Syndergaard was 4.28. He also would have had the second most strikeouts on the team as well. He had 203 strikeouts on the season. Obviously, DeGrom had more, 255. Syndergaard had 202. He was effective in certain aspects that you can work with. The thing I really like about Madison Bumgarner is the fact that he took the ball every fifth day. And while in 2017 and 2018, he only made a total of 38 starts, those 2 years were injuries that I don't think you can predict him having in the future. If I'm not mistaken, I think he got a comebacker that might have broken a forearm, if I'm not mistaken, at one point. He had a motorcycle accident. I mean, these are just not your typical pitcher injuries. And I've always seen Bumgarner as a rubber arm type guy that can just pitch until that arm falls off and he would just keep going and going and going. Some guys are just built different. And from 2011 through 2016, which had four of his All-Star appearances in that six-year span, he took the ball for 30 or more starts every single season and eclipsed 200 innings in every single season. So I think if the Mets were to sign him to a three-year deal, I do believe that he would make 90 starts in those 3 years. I just happen to have that level of confidence in his ability to stay on the mound. Now, when it comes to him pitching effectively, there's the concerns, of course, with the 3.90 ERA, his FIP, which is fielding independent pitching, tries to give you a better picture of what a pitcher might be worth, was also 3.90. So his ERA was pretty accurate to the type of pitcher he has become. But you also have to consider the fact that he gave up a career-high 30 home runs. Will that happen again? Maybe, but if the ball isn't juiced next year, those numbers can come down a little bit. Also, you're taking him from the NL West and the band boxes of Coors Field and Arizona and all of those places out there, and you're bringing him into the NL East where he would pitch in Citi Field. Maybe that helps him keep the ball in the yard a little bit. The thing I like about Bumgarner, he's one of those guys that I feel like makes your team better just for having a winner like that in your clubhouse. And so if you can get that guy to be at the end of your rotation for a couple of years, to me, it is like a much, much better version of what the Mets had with Bartolo Colon. It is. I mean, he has more to give, I think, than Bartolo did. And Bartolo gave the Mets a lot of great years just by being there, being consistent, showing that veteran guile, and leading the rotation. And so I think Bumgarner can do that as well. The other thing that I find really interesting about Madison Bumgarner comes from the most iconic moment of his career. On 2 days rest, Game 7 of the 2014 World Series, after winning Games 1 and Games 5, he comes back, preserves a one-run lead, pitches 5 innings of scoreless baseball. Is he going to be that level of dominant for the Mets? Probably not, of course. But he has that experience to draw on. And when you come to October now, what we're seeing teams do is all of a sudden, your starting rotation becomes your bullpen. It's one and the same. It's just get outs. And we saw the Nationals do it this year, find their way into the World Series. Last year, saw the Red Sox do it a little bit. We've seen the Astros do it when they won a World Series. That is the new mold. And so if all of a sudden you have a rotation for 2020 that makes the playoffs, Jacob deGrom is going to be starting games. Noah Syndergaard is going to be starting games. Marcus Stroman is going to be starting games. And if Steven Matz continues his progression, I believe he might be starting games as well. So all of a sudden, Bumgarner, who has all of the experience and fearlessness in the world, maybe becomes a secret weapon for you when it comes to fixing your bullpen issues come October. So who knows how they revamp their bullpen, but when it comes to a postseason bullpen, having that level of a pitcher, even someone who's a little bit past their prime in the bullpen or just on your team, maybe you do have them make a start. That is something that you can really count on. It's kind of like we saw with the Nationals where Anibal Sanchez is flirting with a no-hitter at 35 or 36 years old. Something to be said about experience. So I think the biggest key for the Mets when it comes to addressing that spot in their rotation is to just be patient. Because this is a market in free agency where if you sit back, something might fall to you. And so if a Madison Bumgarner all of a sudden is waiting out there with a qualifying offer, no one's meeting those $20 million plus demands on a big long-term deal, then all of a sudden you can get into a room with him and you pitch him on the idea of joining this rotation. Who knows if it's a long-term deal? Maybe it's a one-year deal that fits into your budget. I do think that Bumgarner is someone that really intrigues me more than Ryu, just because for some reason there's something telling me that next season Ryu's going to make like 10 starts and he's going to get hurt. Now, I could be completely wrong. Ryu can go somewhere else, pitch to that incredible ERA. Maybe it's with the Mets. Who knows what happens? But for me personally, the name Madison Bumgarner still holds some weight, and I still would rather have him over Ryu. But the last thing I will leave you with is that the name I still want the most is Zach Wheeler. I just think that he is going to price himself out of the Mets' range. Thank you for listening. Remember, you can subscribe to this show wherever you get your podcasts. Also, don't forget, when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets.